welcome to episode 120 of the Wrestling Insomniac Podcast. I know what you're thinking. Isn't this episode number one? Short answer is no, because like any great title lineage, I'm going to reclaim my history. This is the third incarnation of a wrestling podcast on the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. The first one being Off the Ropes, which lasted 42 episodes from January 21st, 2016 through October 28th, 2016. Although I wasn't there for the episode 1, I did join the show at episode 7, and you know I've been here ever since. November 2nd, 2016 saw the launch of Podcast for 1,000 Holds, which ran for 78 episodes until July 19, 2018. During this run of the show, work, life, conflicting schedules, and a lot more than that, saw the hosts whittle down to just little old me. So as of now, I thought, you know what? It's my show. I'm going to go ahead and rename it the Wrestling Insomniac Podcast after my blog and, you know, start branding myself, because isn't that what anyone, you know, good does on the internet these days in 2018 is they brand themselves? So that's how we got here today, August the 8th, 2018, episode 120 of the Wrestling Insomniac Podcast. So, I'm just going to start out talking about a documentary I watched on Amazon Prime. It's called The Trade. And it's a documentary about Sick Nick Mondo. And it's more of like an auto documentary. I mean, Mondo himself made this thing. It looks at his career in CZW, highlighting his extremely ultraviolet ways. And he talks about disappearing from wrestling, why he decided to come back a decade later, and how he's almost ashamed of the legacy he created in deathmatch wrestling with everything he was willing to do and everything he was willing to put his body through, including the infamous weed whacker spot. At times, this documentary does get very like artsy, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just different for a wrestling documentary, point of view, if you will. But I think it's excellent. It's again, I watched it on Amazon Prime, so if you have that, it's part of your Prime membership, and you can check it out there. Just going to jump right into some New Japan Pro Wrestling. Hiromu Takahashi's out like 7 to 10 months, maybe a year, with a broken neck. Now, that synopsis is much better than he's never coming back, but if you saw the bump he took against Dragon Lee, I think it's the inverted suplex he does. I can't think of the title of it right now. I didn't write it down. But he landed right on the top of his head, and he jarred himself something fierce. So I don't know what they're going to do with the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. I know with the G1 tournament going right now, we don't even really see any juniors wrestling on any of the shows except for like Roppongi 3K, maybe some young boys. So I imagine once this tournament's over at the end of this weekend, we're going to see them do something with the title. I can't see them having it be dormant all this time. I mean, on the heavyweight side of things, you have the Intercontinental that's dormant, and then you have the U.S. title and the world title that's active. You have the Never Openweight title that's active. You do have the junior tag titles, and then, of course, the six-man tags and the heavyweight tags. But for that junior singles belt, the only one you got is the World Junior Heavyweight Championship. So I don't think they can leave that dormant until Takahashi comes back. So I wish him a speedy recovery. He's a phenomenal competitor, and maybe he'll come back sooner than expected as long as it's safe. Speaking about New Japan Pro Wrestling, they're returning to Long Beach with Fighting Spirit Unleashed September 30th, 2018. It's the same day as Progress Wrestling's big Hello Wembley show they've been promoting for over a year, and it really sucks that, you know, for Progress, that New Japan had a show on the same day and pulled Zack Sabre Jr. from Hello Wembley show, because the main event was supposed to be Zack Sabre Jr. against Travis Banks for the Progress World Championship, based on Sabre Jr. winning the Strong Style 16 tournament earlier this year. And incidentally, Travis Banks has lost the Progress World Championship to Walter. So right now they're in the process of trying to determine a new number one contender for this upcoming show. And again, it's a real shame that they lost Sabre Jr., because it would have been a heck of a match. However, I think the biggest match on the card, maybe even if Sabre was still there, is what they're billing as the biggest battle in European wrestling history, or at least in this generation, the bruiserweight Pete Dunne against Ilya Dragunov from WXW fame. You know, I was introduced to Ilya earlier this year at the 16 Carat when he made his big return, that tremendous ovation that he received. It caught my attention. It made me look into him. I did a post about it on the Wrestling Insomniac blog. You can check out over there. And, you know, he is awesome. He has a level of intensity that is just, it's up there with, I'd put it with anyone else in wrestling right now. He's probably topping them with intensity. I would love to see him mix it up with like Minoru Suzuki or get a shot in New Japan maybe. Who knows? We'll see down the line. But so Progress, you know, their Hello Wembley show, it's definitely not, you know, the loss of Sabre Jr. is not going to make the show a flop because they got Denver's Dragunov. But I'm looking forward to seeing it, looking forward to what they can do. They haven't announced anything card-wise yet for Fighting Spirit Unleashed. They've just tickets have gone on sale, and apparently they've sold fairly well. Those aren't the only New Japan dates coming up this year that we're aware of. November 10th and 11th at the Anaheim Convention Center during Bushiroad's Chericon USA Expo Convention. New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to be wrestling two events, one on the 10th, one on the 11th, and they're calling it Lion's Break Project 1. And it's the USA version of their Lion Gates project. So this is called Lion's Break. Over in Japan, it's called Lion's Gate. And Lion's Gate is a developmental promotion, essentially, for New Japan that features the New Japan Young Lions, some veteran New Japan talent, and then also talent from other promotions. And they run these shows about once a month. It's a small 467-seat venue, apparently. And it's on New Japan World, but typically they just have a hard camera that does kind of move and zoom, but mostly just stays static. And the Japanese commentary is the only option you have. But they're fun shows. They're only about an hour and a half to 2 hours tops, and that's what they're getting at the convention center in Anaheim this November. It is $15 to get into convention, and the wrestling shows are free if you'd like to stand. However, if you like one of their limited seats, there is an extra fee you'll have to pay at the wrestling card itself. Ring of Honor has announced Global Wars. Their joint shows are New Japan that they do touring in the fall. Much like War of the Worlds, like they did in the spring, they are coming back to Lowell, Massachusetts. But, and more exciting news, for the first time ever, Ring of Honor is promoting a show in my home state of Maine, Wednesday, November 7th, Lewiston, Maine, at the Lewiston Coliseum. WWE's run two shows there. I've been to both of them. So, I mean, it's a good venue for wrestling, in my opinion. It's a smaller house. I was surprised WWE ran there, but it's the perfect size for what New Japan, I mean, for what Ring of Honor typically does. So I'm really excited. They've announced tickets go on sale August 29th. Also on the tour, November 8th, Lowell, Massachusetts. I will not be going to that because I'm going to Lewiston. November 9th, Buffalo, New York. Buddy Armand's going to be excited about that one. And November 11th, Toronto, Ontario, Japan. Now, with the Lion's Break project happening on November 10th and the 11th, and this tour happening when it is, I wonder if we're going to see some of those young Lions in Lewiston, in Lowell, or even in Buffalo before they head out to California for the 10th. I mean, that would be really interesting to see some Young Lions either have like a Young Lions opening match, which I would love to see one of those in person. I think they're fun to watch on New Japan. I mean, you're seeing two guys, Black Trunks, Black Boots, doing basic moves and doing them well and executing them well. And these guys have some great matches. We get a lot of time limit draws, 10-minute time limit draws, and I like that quite a bit. So it'd be pretty exciting if we saw some young boy action on this tour here, in my opinion, or at least have them at ringside. That is not the only announcement news of a New Japan show in the United States, and I think I have announced this already. Maybe I haven't. I know many of you who've listened to this have already seen the announcement. April 6th, 2019. This is a Saturday night, my friends. 7:30 p.m. It's during WrestleMania weekend. Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling will be invading Madison Square Garden. And this will be the first ever, as far as I can find in my history, show promoted inside the Madison Square Garden arena, the big 20,000-seat arena, that's not promoted by a McMahon, by Capital Sports, by the World Wrestling Federation, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, World Wrestling Entertainment, whatever you want to call it. And this is huge. Huge news. In fact, tickets go on sale in exactly 40 minutes and 40 seconds. 39 seconds, 38 seconds, 37 seconds, 36 seconds. You see where I'm going with this. And why do I know exactly? Because I got my Ticketmaster screen up. I'm watching the countdown. I got my pre-sale code from Honor Club. And I'm going to buy me some Ring of Honor New Japan Pro Wrestling tickets at Madison Square Garden. My buddy Jay and I have decided, and Mikey, that we're definitely going to the show. We're going to shoot for front row. Front row is $300, folks. Tickets and prices from $30 to $300. We've decided we're going no matter what, but we want to go big. We want to go front row. I'm working a godly amounts of overtime. I deserve this. And after Jay and I went to Madison Square Garden this past March, which you can also read on the Wrestling Insomniac blog, we decided that we really didn't need to go back. Going to the Garden, I mean, it wasn't a bad WWE card, but it was a pay-per-view caliber talent. You know, we got Brock Lesnar. We got John Cena teaming with Brie Bella before they broke up. Or is it Nikki? Whichever one he's dating. I don't care. You know, we got some pay-per-view quality talent. We got Shinsuke Nakamura on the card. AJ was supposed to wrestle, got injured. So we had SmackDown talent. Anyway, and Raw talent at this Raw House show. Most importantly, we got Brock Lesnar defending the Universal Championship. He doesn't even do TV matches. We got him at a house show at the Garden with Paul Heyman. That was awesome to see Heyman come out, Lesnar come out. I'm not afraid to admit, I got chills. Here, Heyman cut a promo. But the matches were house show quality matches. They didn't really blow me away. The experience of being at the Garden, of getting that picture of the Garden ceiling, you know, I mean, that to me, that was part of the journey. That was worth the adventure. And we saw everything we wanted to see outside the Garden. Trust me, I research the hell out of things when I go on a trip, even if I'm there for 24 hours. But we decided, unless it was a really big experience, a really big reason, or I was taking my son to Madison Square Garden for the first time, I really didn't need to go back. But if we were going to go back, we were going to go big. Because as much as it was, you know, having those front row balcony seats were great, I got to be front row at the Garden. And we had no plans of doing this anytime soon. However, when this show got announced, when these tickets got announced, it was almost like, we got to do it. We got to try it. And that's what we're doing. So we're going for front row. Worst case scenario, second row. And then if we can't do that, we've decided we don't even want to do third row on the floor. It's just not what we're looking for. I mean, I don't want two people in front of me. I don't want to be crammed in the center of a section. So if we can't get front row, we can't get second row, worst case, we're going to shoot for first section off the floor in the front row and then go up from there. But I really want front row. That's what I want to see. These guys who I know are going to go all out and tear the house down to prove something, to prove they can sell out this 20,000-seat arena, be the biggest show in Ring of Honor history, be the biggest show in New Japan wrestling history on American soil. And I want those front row tickets when they go on sale in 37 minutes and 19 seconds. All right, so also, WrestleCon has announced that their super show is going to be on Thursday, April 4th, and with the convention being April 5th and 6th. Also, Game Changer Wrestling has announced they're going to have shows on the 4th, 5th, and 6th. So we've decided we're not just going to go down for this one show. We're not just going to go down. It's Mania weekend. We're going down for the indie more than Mania wrestling weekend. We're going to take the train in on Thursday, take the train out on Sunday morning. That's right, Sunday morning before WrestleMania. As a matter of fact, we're not going to any WWE events. We're not going to Access. We're not going to the Hall of Fame. We're not going to NXT TakeOver because it's the same day as the Ring of Honor and New Japan show. And we're not going to WrestleMania. We're going to take the train back to Jay's house, to Providence, and then drive to Jay's house in New Bedford. We're going to watch WrestleMania at his house, in his TV, on his couch. I mean, it's going to be a better view, I think, than being crammed in MetLife Stadium. So we're making a weekend of it. Mikey's going with us. It's going to be the three of us. Not going to lie, I have a feeling if I was buying two front row tickets, it'd be a lot easier than buying three front row tickets. But whatever. It is what it is. 36 minutes and 7 seconds. We're going to find out. The G1 Climax, it has been a tremendous G1 Climax this year, storyline-wise, The shows are being shot with multi-camera angles and have English commentary with Kevin Kelly and Rocky Romero for every single one of them. So it's making it feel even more special watching these shows on New Japan every day. I'm loving how if this is the day we're having A-block singles matches, then in the tag team matches prior to the show, prior to the singles matches, the tournament matches, we're getting B-block guys wrestling each other, who are wrestling each other the next night or the next B-block singles show. So we're getting that, you know, that little preview of, you know, what's to come. And they've just been putting on some pretty stellar matches. You know, Bob Luck Fale's been getting disqualified a lot. Tama Tonga's getting disqualified. You never see disqualifications in New Japan. But we're getting them because they're trying to show, you know, the Tongans. Yes, I remembered their heritage this week. You know, the Tongans are showing that they don't care. That they're going to do whatever it takes to win. And if they get caught, they get caught. No big deal. Paige and Okada, they had a great match. Ishii and Omega, tremendous match. Ibushi and just about everybody he's wrestled, tremendous matches. I mean, unbelievably great matches Ibushi has had. Omega's been pulling out some great matches. Hell, I was impressed with an Ishii versus Yano match. I was impressed with more than just that for Yano. Like, the storyline they're doing with him, where he's trying not to be evil or trying not to cheat, rip the, you know, the corner post off, I'm enjoying it. And I've never enjoyed a Yano match before, so, I mean, this is saying something. So the tournament this year has been just, it's been so fun to watch. So fun to watch. It's actually kind of ruined me from my other podcast, What Did You Watch This Week? Because I'm watching so much New Japan Wrestling, I don't have time to watch other shows. But we got the final matches coming up, the final tournament matches coming up this weekend to determine who's going to win the G1 this year. And I think the final match of the tournament, it's being set up, it's going to be Kota Ibushi against Kenny Omega. And I'm afraid almost to watch this match. I'm so excited to see it. Like, I know what the limits these guys are going to push each other to. Yeah, I just can't wait. It's gonna be something else. 33 minutes, 25 seconds to tickets. Switching over to some WWE news real quick. Matt Riddle is signed with the WWE. Good for Matt Riddle. Bad for us independent fans who are going to lose the bro. WWE Super Show. The Super Showdown coming up October 6th, 2018 in Melbourne, Australia. This is going to be akin to the Greatest Royal Rumble show they did this past spring. I mean, Undertaker's advertised for the card. So many people advertised for this card. They're not advertising a Royal Rumble match. They're just advertising a huge card with tremendous matches. And it looks great. It looks great. I mean, it's going to be a fun special. Good for WWE for being able to go to these other countries and fill these 100,000-seat arenas or 60,000-seat arenas, whatever it is they're doing. It's more wrestling for us to watch on the network. That's all I know, and that's what I care about the most. The Mae Young Classic tapes today, August 8th, and tomorrow, August 9th. And the finals of this women's is going to appear at the women's pay-per-view in October, WWE Evolution, October 28th, 2018, at the Nassau Coliseum in Long Island, New York. This is going to be an all-women's pay-per-view event featuring talent from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and NXT UK, plus the finals of the Mae Young Classic Tournament. And let's talk about some of the entrants. I'm not going to go over all of them. Let's talk about some of the entrants. Allison Kay, Ashley Rain, a.k.a. Madison Rain, Deonna Purrazzo, Hiroyo Matsumoto, Io Shirai. Those two Japanese talents are huge for WWE to grab for this tournament. Isla Dawn, or Ilya Dawn, Ginny, the Progress Women's Champion, Caitlin, who used to be in the WWE, if you remember her from years ago, Karen Q, Killer Kelly, Mercedes Martinez is back, Mia Yim is back, Nicole Matthews is back, Rachel Evers, a.k.a. Rachel Ellering, is back, Vanessa Craven, Zaya Brookside, but two that I'm looking forward to the most, and I hope they end up wrestling in the tournament. Miko Satomura, 23-year Japanese women's wrestling legend. I mean, the matches that you can watch of hers on YouTube, just unbelievable. Just out of this world. I mean, her and Manami Toyota are probably the two greatest Japanese women's wrestlers in the last, with Kana, a.k.a. Asuka, you know, in the last 20 years. Just she brings it to a new level, and to see her get this exposure over here in the United States finally is fantastic. I mean, she's wrestled some shows for Chikara. When I went to Joshi Mania, a show they ran in the tour they did with a lot of Japanese talent, I went to the Massachusetts stop of that tour. I think it was back in 2008 or 9. She was supposed to be on the show, but she was injured. She was still there, but she wasn't able to wrestle. And then Toni Storm. Yeah, I don't think I need to say anything else about that other than to say Toni Storm is going to be on the card. And Toni Storm against Miko Satomura. We can only be so lucky we get to see that match. 29 minutes, 50 seconds. Under a half hour ago before these tickets go on sale, folks. Switching gears. Now, I'll be honest. I have not been watching Raw or SmackDown. I've been keeping up on it. I know what's going on. None of it's exciting me. You know, the best thing they've had on there recently was after Brock Lesnar attacked Paul Heyman last week. They did an interview with Paul Heyman this week on Raw, the 6th of August. You need to check this interview out. This the one he did with Renee Young, this behind-the-scenes interview. It is just... It is crazy good. It is crazy awesome just how good Paul Heyman is. Let's talk a little bit of Impact Wrestling briefly. They had their Slammiversary 16, July 22nd, 2018 in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And a couple great matches I want to highlight briefly. Tessa Blanchard against Allie. Very decent, very solid match. I'm sure these two have wrestled before elsewhere. Tessa Blanchard finally kind of getting to show what she can do. We saw her in the Mae Young Classic last year. We're not going to see her in the Mae Young Classic this year. We are going to see her in a Fatal 4-Way Women's Match at All In September 1st in Chicago for Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes. But I hope she gets the... I wish they changed the name of the belt from the Knockouts Championship to the Women's Championship, by the way. But hope she gets that women's title to add to her collection. And, you know, I'd love to see her eventually find her way to the WWE and get to see, you know, that Tully Blanchard's daughter, you know, I mean, a Blanchard, that is, excel in the WWE. I don't know. I mean, I love seeing her on the independents, but obviously at the end of the day, that's the biggest platform for women's wrestling in North America right now is the WWE. So I guess we'd like to see her there, get some gold around her waist. Pentagon Jr., or Pentagon L-Zero, or Penta L-Zero, whatever you want to call him, against Sami Callihan in a mask versus hair match. Holy shit. This match was intense. This match was excellent. This match was awesome. And you have to find it. It is so, so, so good. I can't hype this match enough. I can't promote this match enough. Find your way to find it. Now, I don't know how you're going to do it. You can go to Twitch, go to whatever, but you gotta find your way to find this match. It is that good. It is that excellent. Yeah. I don't know what Meltzer may have rated the match. I don't know if he gave it a 5-star. I don't subscribe to the Wrestling Observer, so I don't know. But it is just, yeah, it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And speaking of Pentagon, he wrestled July 14th, 2018 in Tijuana at The Crash, where Penta L-Zero defeated Bestia 666 in an absolutely amazing steel cage match. Violent, bloody, I mean, the pictures of it are gruesome and made me have to watch the match. The Crash has been putting out some great matches, some great cards. But it's sometimes really hard to find anything besides fan cams of the matches. And that is a little discouraging because I'd like to be able to watch them more. I mean, you know, ultimately it is what it is. But, man, what a just a fantastic match. Also on that card, just to bring her up, Tessa Blanchard won the Crash Women's title in a three-woman match over Santana Garrett and Lacey Lane. So she's just out there collecting singles championships basically wherever she goes. 25 minutes, everybody. 25 minutes and 50 seconds. 25 minutes, though. Yeah. I got a wrestling show I'm going to this Friday night in Fairfield, Maine, returning to some IWE action. I have, unfortunately, missed a lot of Limitless Wrestling this year because of my surgery, because of my infection and being laid up, and then work, because we're so short-staffed at work now. So it's very frustrating for me because there's nothing more that I'd like to do than go to Limitless Wrestling. And it's becoming so hugely popular, it's almost annoying because... it's becoming so hugely popular, it's almost annoying because it prevents me from being able to buy tickets easier because tickets are selling out so fast because so many people want to go to these shows. And I can't blame them. I really can't blame them. But anyhow, so coming up here on August 10th, Fairfield, Maine, at the Community Center, there is a women's match, there's a dog collar match. It's going to be a pretty awesome, fun time. And I guess that's it for now. I got 24 minutes and 35 seconds to these tickets go on sale, so I'm going to sit here waiting impatiently with bated breath to see if I get them or not. And I'll let you know what happens. Hey, thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter at SuperstarML. The show is not going to have a Twitter feed. On Facebook, you can like the Wrestling Insomniac's Facebook page or go check out my blog, thewrestlinginsomniac.com. I'd really appreciate it. Stay tuned after this for my rant when it came to buying tickets. It's full of profanity. That's your warning. Thanks. So this is the second time recording this rant. I didn't get front row. They didn't release all the tickets. They advertised tickets between $30 and $300, and they had platinum $560 seats that were in the first couple rows, so that's not fucking cool. Then, the only seats I could get on the floor that were, it was row one, but it was row one of section 10, which is on the floor, but there's section 10F is in front of it. And 10 has a whole section in front of it, and then it's not centered to the ring. It's to the left of the ring is 10, it's to the right of the ring is 12, or vice versa, and you're not even centered on the ring, so you have to sit and you'd have to turn and look, turn your head the whole time to watch the show. That's not enjoyable. That's not worth $300 a piece. And they didn't even have the whole bowl on sale either. Every single ticket was row 20, row 17, row 15, all the way around, not on all the way around on the bowl, but on the top and bottom sections. And then finally, they had most of the balcony on sale. So I was able to get front row on the balcony, just like I had last time. And I'm so disappointed, and I'm so upset, I can't even describe it. Like, this is not right. Like, it's just not right. Not at all. Like, they don't have their shit together, and it's not cool. Okay, here we go. Section 11. Oh, now they're releasing more tickets. Look at that. Section 6, row 2. Yeah, section 4, row 1, $356. Section 2, row 2, which is, again, not, it's elevated, it's behind a whole section B, $356, $456. Section 6, row 2, $356. Section 11, row 2, $456. These are not $300 seats. This is ridiculous. Section 6, row 16. Section 106, row 16, $121. Like, I'm livid right now because Ticketmaster has ruined tickets too. Because these $81 tickets, because that's how much the face value of the tickets were, was $81. Well, after taxes and fees and, you know, getting you right up the ass, these $81 tickets end up being $105 a piece. Yes, friggin' $24 per ticket in fees. It's just absurd. How can they get away with this? You know, it's so just infuriating. It's so infuriating. It's not right is what it is. It's not right at all. Oh, look at this. Section A, row 4, $756. Now, if I were to put in four tickets, I could buy those. $756. That's a little bit more than $300, right? I mean, $300, right? Let's go down to one ticket, just for funsies. One ticket. Best seats. Section 11, row 2, $471. Section A, row 4, $771. These are not resale. This is the price Ticketmaster's charging you. Section 4, row 1. Yeah, $371. Section 1, row 9, $156. That's not bad. No, this isn't right. This is not right. This is not what they said they were going to be. And that's not right. I'm pissed. I'm pissed. Let's go to lowest prices, because they advertise $30 seats. The cheapest tickets, yep, $30 seats. Section 208, row 16, row 24. Yep. Fuck all you people that buy 8 tickets apiece and then resell them and fuck all of us over. That's all I get to say about that. That's not right. I bet you I could go online later tonight and find better tickets. Or I bet you I could go online during the regular sale on Friday and find better tickets.